But everybody in this church knows that I wear this robe whenever we have baptism. And I didn't grow up in a tradition where that was true. But coming into the covenant, I realized they had a very high view of ordination of the pastors that serve our churches. They believe strongly in the priesthood of all believers. There is no barrier. There's nothing special about the men and women who stand and lead congregations. But there is something special about setting apart certain leaders in God's church for the purpose of declaring the Word of God and the sacraments of God. And so that's what's represented on this stole. We are ordained to the Word and the preaching and teaching and living out of the Scriptures, and we are also ordained to the sacraments of communion and of baptism. And so, especially the parents with young children, I encourage you to remind them of the sacredness of what we will be doing to close this service today. The children will be coming back, and as long as I've been here, we give them the front row seat. We want them to be under the spout where the glory comes out. But seriously, I love the look of wonder on their face as they contemplate the meaning of what it is that they observe. And so today, we are actually fitting in with our meta-narrative that we have been in since September, this grand plan to try and look at an overview, a bird's eye view, if you will, of the entirety of the Scriptures. And so we are now in sync with what happened post-Easter. We've been in the book of Acts over the last 4 weeks. Last week talking about the mission-sending church in a place called Antioch, which is in modern-day Syria. This was the center of Christianity for the first 1,000 years of the Christian church and continued to be a strong place up until recently, actually. But baptism really fits in with the meta-narrative because, as you've heard many, many times, if you're a part of this congregation in this series, we start with God's story and we try to wrap our brains around the narrative of God entering the very world that He created. And secondly, we are challenged to enter into His work in the world, which is done through His church. Jesus didn't recruit a bunch of solo folks. He instituted a church and put us in charge of His presence on this earth, and more importantly, His hands and feet. And it's up to us to find our place in God's story as well as His work. That is this sacred choice that God gives to every human being on this planet from the beginning of history until our generation. And so today we're speaking about the ultimate sign that demonstrates our desire to enter into the story of God and also the work of God. And that is baptism. This is a sacred day for us to recognize that in those who will be baptized. And it's a day for all who have been baptized in Jesus Christ. Even Nina alluded to that in her testimony, didn't she? It's a marker. It says, I'm all in. And it doesn't mean that life is smooth after that and it goes on an upward tick. In fact, I often give the disclaimer, your life may get worse because you are following Jesus Christ and you've been baptized. We're not selling something, folks, as followers of Jesus Christ. We are testifying and we are witnesses of a risen Lord, and our lives should show the transparency of the pain and scars that come along the way because we're not protected from those. And Lord, help us from being a slick marketing religion that tries to promise help, self-help, peace and prosperity. Jesus didn't do it, and neither should we make those promises. Well, back in September, we learned that one of the major threads, if you'd put up the first graphic, are what are called the covenants of God. And throughout the fall and winter, we looked more specifically at these. It started with Adam in a covenant that God made with him. There was then a covenant with Noah in the rainbow that represented the covenant of not destroying the earth. Then there was the covenant with Abraham. And so put up the next one. This is specifically from Genesis 12. God's promise to this Bedouin sheepherder, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. And never forget the second part of this. This isn't a little bless me club. God said, Abraham, you and this Jewish race will be blessed so that you can bless the world. You don't have a lock on me. I am bigger than you as a people group, but you are my chosen. But out of you, I will bless all the peoples on the earth. And interestingly, as part of that covenant, God institutes a sign of the covenant. And it's circumcision. How wacky and crazy is that? That God would choose this physical mark on young baby boys to signify this covenant that he is making with Abraham. But that crazy sign of the covenant continues throughout the remainder of the Old Testament in the covenant that is made with Moses, the covenant that is made with David during the monarchy. Circumcision continues to be the sign of this progressive series of covenants that God is making with his people. And then on Easter, we come to the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Put up the next slide. Jesus Christ inaugurates the new covenant. The climax of salvation history is the entrance of Jesus Christ into the world. Jesus Christ is God's total word, as John says in John 1, the fullest of his revelation to humanity. And we know that John baptized Jesus because he recognized he was the Messiah. Now, baptism wasn't needed by Jesus for forgiveness of sins. It was inaugurating his ministry and putting the powers of darkness at bay to say, a change is coming. Jesus said to Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The completion of this series of progressive covenants that we started way back in Genesis, it comes to its complete fulfillment in Jesus. There are no more covenants needed. But here's the cool part. There's a change in the sign of the covenant. No longer is circumcision the sign that the Jews just figured this is going to go on forever. This is the marker that shows that we're God's chosen people. Now baptism becomes the sign of the new covenant. And as we read the book of Acts, we already, Janet preached on this a few weeks ago, but there was a challenge among the early church because they said, no, it's circumcision still because it's our club. This is the Jewish thing. And those Gentiles, you better tell them this is what happens. I don't care how old those guys are. Not the way to have a religion when you're going to grown men and saying, guess what? Part of our initiation rite is. And there was a challenge in the church, including some of the apostles, Peter himself, because he's holding on to an old covenant sign, and Jesus himself had instituted the new sign. Go to the next slide. It came out of what we call the Great Commission. Go, therefore, make disciples of all of the nations. Hello, my Jewish friends. You are to be a blessing to everyone. And here's the new covenant sign. You are to baptize them in the triune name of God. Because now, as a result of Jesus coming, this thing we now call the Trinity is starting to make sense. Not as some theological formula, but as a reality in their lives. They pray to God the Father. They have experienced the risen Jesus Christ. And they live in and through the Holy Spirit, which is not out there, but it's in them. Radical stuff. So this whole covenant thing is going crazy as they're trying to figure out what in the world has happened to us as followers of Jesus. But suffice it to say that Jesus' commission is, get out of here, give away what you've been given, and along the way, baptize those who are ready to jump in the pond and say, I'm all in. We see in the book of Acts, baptism is everywhere. It starts on the day of Pentecost. The scriptures say that the same number of people who believed Peter's grand sermon, 3,000 people responded, and what happened? 3,000 were baptized. Well, all you engineer types are trying to figure out, well, how did that happen? How many tanks did they have? How far were they from the Jordan River? How in the world do you baptize 3,000 people? I don't know. Luke doesn't tell. He just says they were all baptized. We see in the ministry of Philip, there were three that were baptized in chapter 8 of the book of Acts. In chapter 9, we see Paul on the road to Damascus. Tim Kuyper preached this a few weeks ago. After he comes to see Ananias, Ananias has the privilege of baptizing Paul. Old covenant guy gets the new sign of the covenant and is baptized by Ananias. In chapter 16, Lydia and members of her household, Luke records. One of the great stories in 16 also is the jailer in Philippi, where Paul and Silas are in jail. The angel rocks the doors open, and they don't leave. And the jailer says, I'm going to be killed anyway for letting these guys get out of here, so I might as well just take my own life and fall on my own sword. Paul and Silas say, ho, ho, ho. It's not how it works, man. We're still here. And it's at midnight, Luke records. Let's baptize you, because he is so impressed seeing Christ in these two guys. His whole household comes. They go down to the river or somewhere. And the whole family is baptized. In Corinth, we have a synagogue ruler by the name of Crispus who responds to Paul's preaching. And now we have another old covenant person that takes on the new covenant. A synagogue ruler. The Jews are starting to figure this out. And those that are following Christ are starting to join this burgeoning movement called the church. And then finally, in Paul's testimony to the Jews in Jerusalem, which was the epicenter, of course, of the Old Covenant, Paul preaches this wonderful sermon, and he ends it with this. Chapter 22, verse 16. Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on the name of Jesus. I love it. Paul is a good orator. He gets it down to the basics. You guys want to know what it's all about? It's a new covenant, so stand up. Let's go get baptized. What were the stories like leading up to that and just the accounts? You have 3,000 people talking about the marker of the covenant, the new covenant in Jesus. And then we see that they identified with Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection in the language they started using. So let's go to Romans chapter 6. This is about as clear as it gets in their understanding that they, as followers, are like Jesus. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him, the picture of Jesus going into the tomb, through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. They saw the picture. Jesus in the tomb, Jesus out of the tomb at the resurrection. That's the picture of baptism. We are identifying with the one that we follow. And then Paul goes even further in his letter to the Colossians. Now he makes us all squirm. Look at the analogy to the old covenant. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Now he's not talking about physical circumcision. He's using the imagery that they knew very well. He's saying that's what happens to your sinful nature in the new covenant. It's gone. It is not a circumcision done with the hands of men, but with the circumcision that can only be done by Christ. Having been buried with him, there's the picture again, in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. This just rolled off their tongue because it was their experience. They didn't go to school to learn this stuff. This was what they were experiencing in Christ. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is alive in us. And that was the message they declared. So baptism is this fabulous, sacred sign of God's covenant initiative towards us. You've heard me say this before. At the end of each of our lives, when we face Jesus, we will fully realize that it was His sovereign grace that held us. That doesn't diminish the decisions that we make to follow Jesus. I told you, I've been saved 100 or more times. I need it. But when I see Jesus, I won't boldly declare, "How's that for commitment? Made it. Crossed the finish line. I'm a marathoner. I made it, Christ." I will fall on my knees. I will thank God because it had nothing to do with my flimsy will. It will have everything to do because God reached out and pulled me. Sometimes against my will, sometimes with it. This crazy mystery of God's sovereignty in our individual choices. But bottom line is, it is by grace you have been saved. And there will be no other verse that will be in front of us as we see Christ face to face. I love to say, too, that there's no such thing as baptizing yourself. You ever see the apostle? In that movie, it's a powerful movie. In the movie, this Robert Duvall character is so conflicted, he just kind of tears his clothing and he says, "I'm going to baptize myself." He says, "God, I love you, but I hate you." And the tension is just palatable. But he decides, and he's a preacher, classic Southern preacher, he decides to baptize himself. Once again, he realizes grace comes from another. No human being can bestow grace on yourself. You can be gracious. You can be graceful to other people. But the grace that you need cannot be given by yourself. That's why baptism is done by another, to represent that wonderful truth. And as we prepare for the baptism, I just want us to look at a few graphic slides. Baptism being the sign of the new covenant, could the disciples, just leave it there for a minute, could the disciples at the Great Commission have imagined how far this thing would go? Because it's pretty well a small group of people at Jesus' ascension that were on board. This is before Pentecost. This is before the church had been really born. And yet that small group of people are hearing Jesus say, "Go and baptize. Go be disciples and tell others." And now, in our own American history, we have scenes like this. Go to the next one. It's no longer a Jewish thing. In America, it's no longer an Anglo thing. In fact, the greatest growth in the church right now is not happening among white populations in this country. It's happening in Hispanic. Next. Great Negro spirituals going down to the riverside. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about that experience in the African American church. Next. The Orthodox. Those who bring babies to Christ as an act of baptism, which the covenant affirms. Next, megachurches with big tanks. And great stories of numbers and numbers of people being baptized. Christ the King on Easter, unbelievable amount of response. Next. And finally, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And that little band of apostles that heard Jesus say that, what if they had gotten a time machine and came to today where we have seen the fulfillment of Jesus and the Great Commission? Well, I want you to remember your own baptism if you have been baptized today. This is a time for us to rejoice with those who will be. But it is also a time for us to recognize the marker that has been on your life, some of you for decades, others fairly new. But this is a sacred moment for all of us. Today, it's our privilege that Connor and Casey McAvoy will be presenting themselves to this congregation in the sacrament of holy baptism. We rejoice that they are relying on God's relentless love towards us and everything that I've said in the short message today as they take this significant step in their faith. And so we proclaim the promises of Jesus Christ in His new covenant. And we understand that Jesus instituted baptism as a visible sign of this acceptance of covenant making.